Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socalo Village Studio. It's October 23rd, 2020, and I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sawarita Sun. Bill's taking some time off to enjoy northern Arizona with his wife, Ann. You can post, you can follow along on his Facebook page. He has some great posts there. I was looking at some stuff yesterday, and they're really getting out and about as they always do. Bill is here live Monday through Friday at noon, or you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Fridays, Bill likes to give a shout out to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sawarita Sun, Tucson Local Media, Tucson Weekly. You'll find all of these and more on his website, again, buckmastershow.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Sawarita Mayor Tom Murphy, and we have an awful lot to talk about. And joining me to talk to the mayor is Dylan Smith. He is editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Welcome, Dylan.
Thanks for having me on.
Great. You can join us. If you have a question or comment, call us at 790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Mayor Murphy, great to see you.
Great to see you as well. And I think we both drove up from the second happiest place on earth, Sawarita, Arizona. We're still working on Disney, but I have a ways to go to hit that.
And I got to tell you, there is so much going on there. But we have got to, first of all, talk about just this crazy year. Saw a pair of socks the other day, and on the bottom it has written, 2020 just sucks.
I would concur with that. I reflect on the state of the town that we did last September.
Yes.
And it was the 25th anniversary, big celebration. Mm-hmm. And I kind of jokingly said, well, I don't know what's going to happen. And next year it might be pretty boring. So I think I'm regretting my words when it came to that.
Well, you know, I've always told my kids, you learn through the tough times. And
yes,
we've had quite a bit. And so I think there have been some important lessons that we simply would not have learned under any other conditions. So we should enjoy them and see what we can do going forward. I do want to talk about COVID-19 and what you're hearing around town from other business owners, residents, continuing challenges we have. What's going on?
Yes. And you know, it is a continuing challenge. I haven't verified it, but I was hearing the governor ban dancing today.
Is that right?
That's what I heard on
That's
another show.
In.
So I don't know if it's the whole social distancing thing. But, you know, we've been really working hard. You know, early on, we put up our COVID site on the town website to have a one-stop shop on the different executive orders and, you know, money
right.
and things like that. Fortunately, we did get our share, the town did, of the CARES Act money, which, you know, really brought us pretty close back to whole. We're not as,
right.
as you know, we're not so intricately linked to tourism. So we certainly had some loss, but not the kind of loss that some of our other communities have that are linked to tourism. And it allowed us to put around $600,000 into a business safety and recovery fund. We've distributed about $360,000 of that to 37 different businesses. So we're just trying. We featured Restaurant of the Week and shout out to a business. So we're just trying everything that we can do because, you know, you've been watching the closures, the bankruptcies of big and small businesses.
Right. And we have had some closures, I think, down in our area in Green Valley. I don't know what the lag is. Tell us as far as sales tax revenue and how is it being impacted?
Yes. Well, we're a budget. We were starting with an expectation that we'd grow by about 8% transaction privilege tax. And then we had to redo our budget to what I call a skinny budget, not knowing if we were going to get the CARES money. And then we did. So everybody was, you know, working really rapidly to, you know, go back to an expanded budget. So we're tracking about 4 to 5% ahead of where we were last year. And I think a lot of that is due to the growth of the businesses. Of course, we have construction sales tax in our town. In 2019, we had about 326 home permits. Last year, we ended up at 426. And then this year, the first 3 months, we're at about 150. So if that tracks consistently, we'll end up at over 500 new home starts. So that's been always has been a really strong sector, except for during the Great Recession. But as you know, we've worked on a diversified economy, bringing in jobs and more retail. So I think a combination of all of those have really kept us in good stead, and we're going to be above. Now, we're acting very conservatively, as we always do, but I think we're going to end up better than most.
And it was acting conservatively that really kind of saved the town, say, 10, 12 years ago. And I know you were not mayor then, but certainly you were there and you remember. But I do not remember widespread layoffs. I think I remember one layoff from the town as that Great Recession was, we were going through that. And that was, I think it was a building inspector. There was really nothing much to do.
Right, exactly.
So, but that conservative approach paid off then. Is it paying off now?
Yes, and it was certainly with the different fund balances that we, as a council, committed to keeping in there, we literally could fund our general fund for a year based on our reserves. Now, you know, we don't want to do that, but it does give us the ability to have some flexibility. We have about 1,000 home lots under various platting processes right now. So, you know, we continue to be strong. As you know, we're always voted one of the safest communities in Arizona. And I think out of COVID, one of the things learned that, you know, a couple of years ago, I was hearing this really urbanization. People were really moving back to the city, kind of a thought process. I think you're going to see, you know, maybe some of that continue forward, but I think you're going to see some of the reverse of that, where people are looking for that additional space and, you know, based on how the cities had got hit. You know, during this time, and also with, again, workforce development with the hospital, I know we'll be touching on that coming in,
right.
SamTech, as well as our retail opportunities. So I think we're in really a strong position.
So you are listening to Mayor Tom Murphy from the town of Sahuarita. Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, you got something from the mayor?
I'm just wondering, what are your contingency plans if the pandemic doesn't abate? You know, we've been pretty much at the same level for more than a month now, and things are not going down. You know, we have more people getting sick now than at the very beginning of this pandemic, when we were, you know, starting to become very concerned. We're getting a little bit used to it, unfortunately. But how are you approaching how to deal with this if it continues, you know, for months into next year?
Right. Well, I think it's important to, you know, I think it really depends on the mindset. At some point, you have to operate as it's not an emergency and potentially has a little bit more of a way of life. Our numbers have been really consistent over the last few weeks. I always look at Green Valley and Sahuarita sort of together on the dot map that I get on a weekly mm-hmm. basis. And we're bouncing on a weekly basis. We bounce in our area between 4 and 10 to 12 cases. So I know some of the spike was attributed to the U of A, mm-hmm. Which, you know, when I'm watching that map, and it was a big red dot for a couple of weeks when the cases were running through there. But after about 2 weeks, it started to disperse again. So I think as we learn more and who it affects, our school system, SUSD, has been open, hybrid, first elementary, and then last week, middle and high school. And they've been operating very effectively. I'm not aware, I think there was a staff member that might have contracted it, but I'm not aware of any student.
Mm-hmm.
We have a robust testing program. We're working with one of our community partners, the United Community Health Center, to test the football players on a weekly basis to try to get, you know, them back to a normalcy. So I think, you know, however it comes out, you know, we're going to have to learn to bring some normalcy, because I don't believe you can operate on a shutdown economy or world and think any of these businesses are going to survive. But our residents have been very compliant with doing the right thing and trying to keep our businesses afloat.
You know, the town hasn't exactly been in lockstep with Pima County, and you've taken a little bit of heat for what people perceive to be your stance on masks. I know there's a danger with, in what you said, saying, you know, you got to move forward, you got to open things up, but there's a danger of sending a message that it's over.
Right.
And I think, frankly, with what the president said in the debate last night, people are who would believe that are getting a sense that, okay, we are rounding that curve he talked about and heading down the stretch and we're going to be good. That's kind of dangerous, isn't it?
Well, I think, again, it's more of a philosophy. I think, you know, we have to try to step our way back to normal But I think just like in any other circumstance, life is calculated risk. I was talking to someone the other day, and there was a horrific accident on I-19 the other day. And I said, well, you know, the alternative is let's just make all the speed limits 10 miles an hour, which obviously that's not possible. So I just think that we can do things and we can put mitigation in place. But a lot of it is the ever-changing story from the CDC and other places. We started with, you know, you don't need masks, then it's masks are mandatory, and then the CDC just came out and 84% of the people that got COVID either were very heavy mask wearers or heavy mask wearers. Mm-hmm. So I think there'll have to be a look back, you know, down the road someday on what was effective, what should we have done, what was the balance, what was the calculated risk, protecting freedoms and balancing that with safety.
Okay, we are with Tom Murphy. He's the mayor of Sarita. In our Friday Focus interview, you're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio, and our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sowetita Sun, sitting in for Bill. I'm with Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy. Tom, you know, if you were a good mayor, you'd figure a way to get Mona's Danish Bakery down in our area.
We're going to work on that. Actually, I think the last time I was on, we were talking about broadcasting from afar. So.
We must do that. Mona's Danish Bakery in the corner, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the home to the Danish Kringle, which has been made famous by this show, by the way, and Bill's spots on it. Mona's is open for breakfast, lunch, with indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickup are welcome. Mona's is open every Monday through Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sundays 7 to 2. See you at Mona's northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. But I'd rather see you at Mona's in Sarita. Tom, will you commit?
I will have that. It's already on my to-do list.
Okay. They're the best. Okay. And so are you if you can land them. So let me once again take you back to the Great Recession, as we've mentioned. So January 2009, that's the month I moved to Sahuarita. Real estate, jobs, economy were all tanking. Yet Rancho Sarita, while certainly not immune to the downturn, not saying that at all, but they kind of kept chugging away. And I told my wife, I said, I feel like I drove through this mist into this parallel universe where things weren't as bad as where we were at the time up in Phoenix. And so now nearly 12 years later, the town continues to grow and we're seeing some really big things happen there. And heaven forbid I sound like a cheerleader because it's like the last thing on earth I ever want to be. But we've got a new hospital ready to open Northwest.
Yes.
And what do you know about it?
Yeah, 18-bed acute care. It's got a helicopter pad. The first floor will be open first. We already issued a temporary certificate of occupancy, which is a big thing to get them going. So the hospital will be opening first on the first floor. And then I think probably within the next year or so, the second floor will be opening. And that's where some of the more expanded services will be, but it's just a great addition. I moved to the town in 2003.
Wow.
And the only thing south of Sahuarita Road was the post office.
Yes.
And now to think, a school, the McDonald's, the Taco Bell, all of the things that are there. So having a healthy community, which, you know, is really important to myself, the manager, and the town council, encompasses many things, and one of them is good medical services. So I know years ago the whole area opined that we had nothing, and then the Santa Cruz Hospital came, and now Northwest came. So, you know, we're really excited to be able to deliver the jobs. I think the average salary they were talking about is about $88,000 a year. They had a recent registered nurse hiring event at Pub 22, our local restaurant, to bring some folks in. So I think it's going to be a great addition to our area, plus bringing more parents. I suspect a lot of the folks that are working already in the medical field outside of the community will be looking at that, and they'll be closer to the kids in school and those events and things like that. So we're very excited.
Right, and people do want to live and work in the town.
Yes.
And I know that's the town's goal also. That would also help restaurants at lunchtime and all these different things. But hospitals do bring along with them development.
Yes.
And so we're going to see more there, not just medical buildings, but is there anything for sure yet? Because I know there's several pads there for retail.
Yeah, no, I'm in touch with Rancho Sarita on an ongoing basis, and I know they have things in the pipeline, like you mentioned, expanding some medical office buildings and such. But until it's official and signed and in ink,
sure,
it's hard for them to share because nobody wants a missed opportunity that really wasn't a live opportunity. Every once in a while, there'll be a rumor from a staff member at a restaurant in another community, they're coming to Sahuarita. So everybody gets excited. And, you know, of course, that deal is between the landowner and the investor.
Absolutely.
And until we get something at the town permitting and plans and things like that, I don't see it actually as official. EG's is one example, is teasing us a little bit
Yes.
on their Facebook page.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
It is. We have a surprise for you, Sahuarita. I'm like, well, why make it a surprise? Just say you're coming.
I suppose it would be a surprise if they didn't now.
I know, but it would be. I'll be the first in line and cut the ribbon.
everybody's expecting it. One more question before I turn it back over to Dylan, but I know it's Pima County, but let's talk about the library that's going up also near that same area.
Yes.
as the hospital. Very exciting, because if you go back to 2015, the Pima County bonds that all went down in flames, and I believe it was 99 projects, seven questions, everything went down, which was shocking for this area, and our library was in it.
Yes.
And so now here we are 5 years later, and it's going up.
Yes, and that was another great community partnership, I would say. The county bought a piece of land off of the school district. It was an underutilized baseball field. And actually, with the money, we'll be able to build, a baseball field, a better one, further away from the road.
Right.
Which puts the library right there on Sahuarita Road. And libraries are not the libraries of yesterday. This is going to be a high-tech with study rooms and computer labs. And, of course, we'll always have books, at least I think in yours in my lifetime. great view to the east of the mountains. And they're almost more used as much as community centers.
Yes.
And resource centers as they are as libraries. And it's actually going to be about 3,000 square feet larger than the Joyner Library in Green Valley. And that was another great partnership because Rancho Cerrita had rented the building and the land for $1 a year for many years to try to get a permanent library in our town. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, and it's a small library over there, but Rancho Cerrita did do that as a service for the town and appreciated and just worked with the county as they tried to get this big library rolling. So we do appreciate that. And although it's a real small library, it's very heavily
utilized. Yes.
Oh, man, and people love it. So it's great to see something going in. And you're right, it's a community centerpiece. And
right.
It really is going to be a gathering spot.
And when you get in, you're talking about a healthy community, whether it's a hospital or a library, various businesses coming in. To me, it all works in concert with each other. And another great addition to the community.
Okay. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Got a question for the mayor.
Indeed. Maybe a little bit of a flip side from what I mentioned before. You started off, you mentioned your state of the town last year. What are some things that you were planning to get done in the community this past year that, obviously didn't happen? And how are you going to be able to, pick those things back up? What are you going to try and get done first?
Right. Well, one of the things,
assuming that the world, continues to slowly return to normal, of course, but.
Well, we're going to do it no matter how it returns or when it returns to normal, because, we just don't have a belief that we can do anything other than that. One of them was a pause on the Sahuarita Square. Mm-hmm. I think Dan's aware of that. And that's an effort to bring not only more circulation to the town, but we have a lot of great master plan communities, different neighborhoods, and really trying to bridge all of them together. And this was something we've been working on for a number of years, from Sahuarita Road down to Duval Mine Road that parallels I-19 and Old Nogales mm-hmm. Highway. And that will come with some type of additional funding, whether it's a bond or a half-cent sales tax. So that was something that we paused because of the stresses on the business community. But we're going to pick that back up next year and then have a discussion on how we fund it, when we fund it, how you time that. So that was probably the best example. Honestly, as Dan was saying earlier, we're actually accelerating on home starts during this. I don't think we had one retail fallout that was in the works. Those have all gone forward. The library we touched on, the hospital. So everything has gone forward. Probably the only pause, actually, was the Sahuarita Square.
We've had a lot of angst in the community, mostly over water, with the Rosemont Mine going in on the east side of the Santa Ritas, but we just discovered that they are going to do some exploratory drilling on the western slope. I know they came and talked to you. This is Hudbay Minerals,
yes,
which owns Rosemont, and they're just checking it out just to see what's there, and it surprised a lot of people. Concerns, questions, thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you might know, I've been a supporter of that project for many years. And, they were already working in the town, bringing in some buildings and workers to clear and grub the utility corridor off of Nogales Highway to the east. So when that got put on pause with the injunction from the judge, they basically came to us and said, well, we have to continue in some capacity, and we'd rather be building on the other side, but this is all being done on private land that they own and that have the mineral rights to. So I think my feeling was they wouldn't have been on this side if they had been moving forward on the other side of the mountain.
No, they flat out told me that.
Right.
That's exactly accurate. And so it's kind of interesting. Maybe at one point they would have come over, but they've got holdings all over that area. We ran a map of it in our paper. And so, as you said, it's all on private property. And just real briefly here, I just wanted to touch on the census. It's over. Sarita's self-reporting percentage was just remarkable, among the best in the state. What drove that?
Yeah. Well, I was the head of the Complete Count Committee.
There we go. Good job.
No, I give all the credit to our assistant town manager that I worked with, Terry Bankhead.
She's great.
She really led that effort. And it goes back to the cooperation with our stakeholders. You know, when we have our meetings, we have everybody at the table. All sectors of our community, La Posada, Rancho Sarita, the school district, just on and on. So it was great communication. It was great partnerships, as we've always done. My only downside is, you know, I go home every night and I cry because we came in third to Oro Valley. And if I lose in any way to Oro Valley or Marana, it's a bad day for me. But man, Gilbert was number one. Oro Valley was number two. We were number three.
Wow.
But the county was number one, probably because of all these communities. And it's very important. I was speaking at La Posada before I came here and talked about the importance of getting a correct count. It lasts for 10 years.
Yes.
And when you're a hyper-growth area, you want to know everybody that you have literally in your town. It actually sets the House of Representatives, the seats. And, you know, it's about $3,000 a person.
Money.
Money. Over 10 years. So that's, you miss one person, it's around $30,000.
That's a lot of money.
Each is a lot of money, and it affects roads, medical care, all these various state and federal funding opportunities. So I was very proud of everybody's efforts and participation.
Very good. Okay, our thanks to Mayor Tom Murphy of Sahuarita. It is always great to have you on the show.
Oh, it's always great to be here.
Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, is going to stick around for the Friday Roundtable. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. And when we return, you are invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The live line is 790-2040. We will be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead
for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill, who's enjoying Northern Arizona this week. It's time for our Friday roundtable, and on the line is Dylan Smith, and he was with us for the first couple of segments with Mayor Tom Murphy of Sahuarita. He is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Welcome back, Dylan.
Always good to be on, even though, we're the B team coming off the bench here, filling in for Bill on Friday.
Bill needs a break, and Bill deserves it, so, you know, I'll do anything for this guy. So, hey, did you watch the debate last night, and what did you think?
I did not get the opportunity to watch the entire thing, but I watched some bits and pieces. Certainly the... You know, the tenor of it was a little bit less
chaotic,
ridiculous, less outrageous, less chaotic, and it was still not the best of discussions. It's pretty rare for any kind of political debate to actually be a real debate, a discussion about ideas and responding to each other. It's people want to just repeat their pre-planned talking points and, drop a deftly timed cut down in here and there.
That's what it was.
At least it wasn't, a complete shambling disaster, let's just say.
No, it wasn't. It was, I tell people less chaos, same baloney. I always go to the fact checks, and I check probably six or seven of them, and they're up pretty quick after these debates. And I prefer to read transcripts from debates rather than anything else. I don't need the voice inflection and all this type of stuff. I just want the info that's put out there. But there wasn't anything new. There were really no surprises. It was the same old, same old. And the president did manage to talk over and try to dominate, but that mic check thing worked a little bit. So it was not nearly as bad as the first two. It was very interesting. I heard something on radio earlier today where they said, the first debate was really kind of a missed opportunity because so many people hadn't voted by then, and that was the opportunity to really present your case in a more traditional debate format, and it was just completely blown out of the water.
Yeah, one of the things that did strike me from the bits and pieces that I was able to catch last night was just how sadly dismissive President Trump is of the fact that we have had more than 200,000 Americans die during this pandemic from this disease. And he just, shakes his head and acts as if it's not a big deal.
Right. Even though he himself suffered from it and probably not nearly as much as a lot of people have gotten it. But then others simply are diagnosed with it and have no symptoms. It's just this strange thing. And as the mayor said earlier, when we look back on all this, there are going to be so many lessons to study and to just responses and what can we do next time. And then, of course, being humans, we're going to forget it all. And then next time will happen, it'll be like it's all new again and we'll probably have the same issues. We have about 10 days left before the election, but it's over for a lot of people already. They voted, and really they would rather not have any more phone calls. What are the races to watch in your opinion, besides the obvious at the top of the ticket?
Well, certainly there's that one that dominates everybody's conversations, but really, here in Arizona, we also have a race that is a hot topic all over the country.
Absolutely.
In our U.S. Senate race, and that is a big, big deal.
Yep.
And I was thinking this morning, if say 6 or 7 years ago, I had gone up to you and said, hey Dan, it's not going to be too long before Arizona has two Democratic senators.
Yeah.
You would have just scoffed.
No, right? Wouldn't have believed it.
And here we are on the cusp of very likely having two U.S. senators from the state of Arizona who are Democrats, and it's something that seemed to be just, you know, elections that Republican candidates would win, strolling with ease. In the pre-Trump era, I guess you might call it.
Well,
but here we've got, you know, an amazing turnout going on.
It's incredible.
1.3 million plus people have already voted, you know, handed their early ballots in. More are doing it every day. It's pretty astounding the number of people who are eager to participate, you know, whether their reason is to, get their vote in so that they do stop getting those texts and phone calls and emails and everything else. self-interest and self-preservation.
Well, I got some bad news.
Or if they are actually that eager to, you know, cast their vote, maybe it's a little bit of both for some people. But,
I got some bad news for those folks. The bad news is that this is really just a special election for Senate. So Mark Kelly, Martha McSally, whoever wins that is only in for 2 years, and then they've got to go into another election. So this
and
is
remember that 2 years after that,
yeah. Well,
Sinema's seat will be up. She'll have to run. I think this is like the longest stretch of U.S. Senate elections that any state has ever had in U.S. history. Because we've had a Senate election every 2 years since 2014.
Wow.
And then we're going to go through 2024. We have a solid decade of them because of how this played out with, having to have this special election slotted in here.
Right, so it's not over. We'll see. The county recorder is not a sexy race usually, but this time it is really, really interesting. As we have Benny White and Gabrielle Casares, she's presenting herself as, you know, the woman of color, the first Native American, but by her own admission is not really steeped in great knowledge on various aspects of the job, has never really managed a large group of people. He has a lot of experience with it, hands-on, at least 12 years, and he has managed large groups of people, but he's the Republican, and it's a Democratic county. This is such a key position, but a lot of people haven't thought about it because F.N. Rodriguez has been in there so long. But
28 years, I believe.
Yeah, so this is something to pay attention to. And you know what, frankly, to school yourself on exactly what the recorder does and doesn't do. But that to me is a very key race just because of the influence of the position. Basically, your job is to kind of keep the trains running on time and the registration going and making sure that everything is equitable and accurate. It's going to be a very interesting race. We'll see how that one pans out. So
I don't know if it's the best for any race, but leaving aside the individual merits of any candidates, I don't know if this election in Southern Arizona is a very good time to be a Republican.
I agree. And everything comes back to the top of the ticket. And we've talked about it on Bill's show in the past, is that, what is President Trump going to do to the down ballot races? And definitely they're going to be affected. We can see this already by the early voter request, and those people who requested them are turning them back in. And so they say that the Democrats are the ones who are most likely in the states that track that. The Democrats are returning the ballots in far greater numbers than the Republicans, but the Republicans are the ones most likely to go to the polls. So don't count anybody out just yet. It's going to be a very, very interesting race.
Yeah. Right now, the Democrats are a little bit more than you can't really call it turnout, but the number of Democrats who've returned their early ballots at this point are about 10% more than the number of Republicans who have returned, 41% to just over 29%.
Is that state or county?
That's state.
That's statewide.
Across the whole state.
Interesting.
It was about 30% of people have already voted. And here we are,
A couple of weeks ago, Bill and I had Sheriff Mark Napier and challenger Chris Nanos, who is the former sheriff, on the show for a forum or debate, and it was very lively. And I believe Mr. Nanos told me it was one of 7 or 8 meetings they were going to have like that, and they had just done one the night before, and they had 2 more planned for that weekend. So they've been out there slugging away, both wanting to be sheriff. What are your thoughts on that whole race? It's, of course, the last time they went at it was very, very interesting in 2016, when Chris Nanos was coming off a pretty rough year, and so was the entire department. It was pretty much in flames, and he inherited a rough situation, but he had also been there a long time and perhaps either wasn't in a position or mindset to do anything about it. So this is an interesting race here. Again, you have a Republican who's in the position and probably got it because things were so bad under the Nanos administration.
Certainly, that was a mess going on then.
No, and we should note here that Chris Nanos was in the position for a very short time at the top of it, but he had been with the department, of course, for years. What are your thoughts on that race?
Well, lively is certainly a polite way of putting it.
It's an understatement.
There are a couple of candidates who are really not very fond of each other.
No.
I think it's safe to say. And but they have had, at times, some good, I think, healthy actual discussions about issues in addition to trying to knock each other's character all over the place.
Right.
But, there are things that they disagree on. And they do discuss that. And I think, voters in Pima County need to make that choice, but both about, their assessment of the character of those candidates and also what it is they've done and say they're going to do. And but again, even though we've seen Sheriff Napier get some support from some folks who you might not ordinarily think would be supporting a Republican law enforcement candidate. You know, there's some progressives out there who say they're going to cast their vote for him rather than Donald's, kind of on a character issue. I just don't know if, again, with Trump at the top of the ticket and a sheriff who has at times very closely associated himself, with many, many trips to the White House to take part in those roundtables and all of that.
Right.
Him constantly showing up on TV at the White House, at Donald Trump's White House. I don't know if that plays very well with a whole lot of Democrats in a county that's
Democratic.
Got a Democratic majority.
Absolutely. We got about a minute left, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. It's a huge, huge issue down in Green Valley and Sahuarita. Missing, damaged signs, and we're talking 99% of those are Biden or Trump. I don't know if you've been hearing much about that up here, but I read all the sheriffs and police reports every day that we get the logs that are in, and this is a major, major problem down where we are. Lots of missing and damaged signs going on. Bad news.
It's certainly happening all over the place. I think all over the country, actually. And is personally, I think it's just unfortunate and embarrassing and terribly juvenile to go vandalize or steal somebody's campaign signs. There are certainly better ways to get your point across and about who you support or oppose. Campaign signs, yard signs, or the larger ones along roads. Study after study after study has shown that they play very little role in actually, having people make up their mind who to vote for. That's an infinitesimal percentage point.
Absolutely.
So but they're basically meaningless in that respect, but they do, people who volunteer, it's a way for them to, show just how much they are, bought in to supporting their candidates. So there's that factor. But as far as actually you know, deciding an election. Do you drive along the street and, you know, see
I think I'll vote for that person.
Is that what you, you know, make up your mind about?
Hey, I might be more inclined to vote for the person whose sign has been ripped up. So we'll see. So, okay, that is going to wrap up our Friday roundtable. I want to thank you, Dylan Smith, for being with us the whole hour. He is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Get on over there and check out what he's doing. And we're going to be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village studio to help you plan your long weekend with Matt Russell.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill. Don't forget that our live line is made possible by the professionals over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for Weekend Watch. It's a great way to plan your next couple of days, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start planning your trip over to Silver City so you're ready when New Mexico opens up to out-of-state visitors. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, there's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and a lot more. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. On the line, we've got Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Always great to talk to you. A man who consistently reminds us that the word Sawarita has four syllables, not three. Let the record reflect.
You know, thank you to U of A and that great Spanish they taught me, and many people who have reinforced that over the years. Hey, I got to tell you, my heart leaped at your lineup today because of the very first word. Something is opening.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we just love to announce the opening of new restaurants here on the Shearer Show. Oh, sorry, the Buckmaster Show. The most recent eatery to open its doors is Boulevard Barbecue on Speedway near Craycroft. Now, this is the newest concept from the local team behind the Serial Grillers restaurant group, and they've tapped longtime pitmaster David Martin to run the joint. Now, in addition to a respectable lineup of classic Q favorites, you're going to see some creative tacos, burgers, and salads on the menu. But Dan, if you get a salad at a barbecue joint, we just cannot be friends.
Boo.
I send you yourself to Boulevard Barbecue this weekend.
Excellent. And we got a steakhouse on tap here.
Yeah, the change of seasons comes with the fresh menu changes across town. And the new fall menu at Casino del Sol's PY Steakhouse just launches this weekend, anchored by ingredients from local farmers and purveyors. Some of the highlights include a roasted butternut squash bisque and a cider brined pork chop. But let's remember, Dan, this is a prime steakhouse, and their 40-ounce porterhouse with a fresh thyme and tallow butter is as magnificent as it is monstrous. Now, they say it's enough for two, but I say speak for yourself. The flavors of fall can be found at the PY Steakhouse.
Okay, now I'm feeling like I'm back in Green Valley here for a moment because someone's turning 90.
Absolutely. Fox Theater has been celebrating its 90th anniversary all week long with a series of virtual events. And this Sunday, it all wraps up with a special grand finale at 7 p.m. with a live stream entertainment event. Now, the evening festivities will also feature an auction of unique items, including several that will surely find favor among foodies, like a downtown culinary tour, a delicious afternoon at Cafe a la Carte. And check it out, Tacos for Life at Street Taco. Yes, please. All the information on Sunday's event is at foxtucson.com.
Doesn't get any better than that. We have just a few seconds left, but what's your column about Inside Tucson Business?
As Oktoberfest season winds down, I kind of checked in with a couple of local brewers to get their credentialed perspectives on the science behind these seasonal suds. You can check it out in this week's Inside Tucson Business. And yes, the Lederhosen are optional.
Excellent. Thank you, Matt Russell, as always. Wonderful lineup for the weekend.
Cheers, Dan.
Okay, thank you for joining us today. We had Mayor Tom Murphy on earlier, and then Dylan Smith going back over the debate, and lots going on over the next 10 days in their push up to the election. Just a reminder that the Buckmaster Radio Program, established in 2011, is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to longtime Buckmaster assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. You have yourself a great rest of your day.